IMF's latest World Economic Outlook report has come out, and you might remember that in our episode 592, that is in October 2020, we had said that that report had shown the Bangladesh mirror to India, that IMF has shown the Bangladesh mirror to India in the sense that they had predicted that year, that that was the year when Bangladesh's per capita GDP will leave India behind. Now, that was a projection. Now, first of all, we know that that projection has turned out right. Bangladesh has left India behind. But more importantly, this report, the outlook now says that till 2026-27, Bangladesh will still be ahead of India. If anything, they would have, if these projections are correct, if anything, Bangladesh would have widened the gap in per capita incomes between them and India, India on the downside. Now, you might say there can be 100 excuses. Bangladesh is a smaller country. Bangladesh is too export dependent, etc., etc. But the fact is that we have to look at where we've come from. So if I take you back to 2012, that is 10 years back. 10 years back, Bangladesh's per capita income was $883. India's was $1,444. So not quite twice as much, but at least two-thirds more than Bangladesh. So we've lost all that huge advantage and have gone under Bangladesh. Now, once again, I can take you backwards still. If you go back to 2010, and these are all the same figures from same sources. If I take you back to 2010, it's $781 for Bangladesh, $1,384 for India. That's almost twice as much. And I can take you backwards still, but you know, there's no point getting into too much detail because it gets cluttery. Because ever since Sheikh Hasina has taken power in Bangladesh, she's focused. It's not a perfect democracy by any means. It's very imperfect. In fact, it's more imperfect than most or many. But she has focused on the economy, stability, and in the process, she's left India firmly behind now. She now has a head start, Bangladesh has a head start, and India will have to work very hard to catch up with it. Now, IMF report had come out, it got covered as usual, and the highlight or the headline point that got covered also in the Indian media generally was that IMF had said that their projected growth figures for the world were being revised downwards because of the war in Ukraine. Now, I can see that internationally, that is the most important part of the story. So they said global growth, which was predicted earlier to be 6.1%, will now be 3.6%. Even in emerging markets, this will come down. And they had similarly done a correction for every country and every region. Now, if you looked at our region, that is emerging and developing Asia, then we were going to go down to about 5.3%. Now, that besides, because it applies to everybody in the region, that besides, behind that larger headline, we forgot that what had happened vis-a-vis Bangladesh and India. So that's a reminder I got when I saw a story in the Daily Star of Bangladesh. The Daily Star is a fine newspaper in Bangladesh. It's run by Mahfuz Anam, a very, very good editor, also a very straightforward one with a real spine. So he has built a fine newspaper. That's a Daily Star. Now, the Daily Star had a story under a joint byline where Rajaul Karim Byron, I presume named after the poet, I presume even more because after all, Rajaul is a Bengali, right? So Rajaul Karim Byron and Sohail Parvez. So that story tells us they've just used the data from the IMF report and made our jobs easier, my job easier. So I'm also using a screenshot from their story by way of a graphic because it's a very simple graphic. It tells you our journey between 2019 to now, that of our respective per capita incomes, and also the projections as we go ahead. So see this graphic, and thank you Daily Star, thank you Rajaul and Sohail. In 2019, India is firmly ahead of Bangladesh. It's 1854, but you can see, because I gave you the comparisons with 2010 and 2012. In 2010, India was almost twice as much as Bangladesh, 781 to 1384. Now, Bangladesh had come very close, 1854 to 2098. There were years in which India grew fast, but Bangladesh steadily grew fast. So they had come close in 2019. Then the turnaround took place in 2020. That is financial year 2021. So when I say year 2019, it means financial year 2019-20. India had very poor growth that year, just about 3% or just a little over 3%. So that is what we keep saying all the time, that while the pandemic came, India did very badly for sure, but our growth had slowed down heavily even before that. And the pandemic came, it became a big calamity over what was already a worsening situation in terms of our growth. Post demonetization, our growth stalled and it slowed down quite substantially. So 2020-21 is when, as the IMF report had predicted or projected, Bangladesh did leave India behind. So in that year, Bangladesh finished with a per capita income in dollars of $1,961. India got to $1,929. As you can see, India's per capita incomes have declined because this was the year of negative growth for India because of that long total lockdown. So India went down. In per capita terms, on average, Indian became poorer by more than $100. In this case, about $169. The average Bangladeshi became richer by $107. So that is the difference. Average Bangladeshi became richer than the average Indian. 2021-22. What is the projection now? Final figures will come because there is a two-month lag before the final figures come after the end of the financial year. So final figures will come. But Bangladesh, according to IMF, has ended this year, this financial year, with a per capita income of 2,138 and India with 2,116. So you might say that the gap is a little bit narrower than before, but just a little bit narrower. So while India had a very good growth here, remember, it was coming on top of a year of a very heavy negative growth. So that effect, those effects got merged. So India is still behind Bangladesh by, say, about $22 per head. Going ahead, what is the projection? Again, from the IMF, 22-23, Bangladesh 2,326, India 2,312. Still a gap of about $14. Not very much, but still a gap. Positive for Bangladesh. Next year, that is 23-24, we come down to the gap increases, right? Because IMF then projects that India's growth will slow down in that year, Bangladesh's will be steady. So 2535 in 2024 for Bangladesh and 2478 for India. So the gap will increase. It is still less than $100, but the gap will increase now. Then 2024-25, 2754 and 2649. So gap will further increase. Average Bangladeshi will earn $105 more per year than us. 2025-26, it will be 2994, 2829. Once again, the gap increases further, and 2026-27, that is the last year up to which IMF has given its projections, Bangladesh will be 3253 and India at 3018. That is an average Bangladeshi earning $235 more than an average Indian. That does not look pretty for India. Now, as the authors of the story also mention, and I think they've been very fair in their coverage, that this is on nominal basis, that is dollar to dollar. But if you look at purchasing power parity, Indians are still doing a lot better, because in purchasing power parity terms, what 33 taka, while 33 taka, that's the Bangladesh currency, while 33 taka buy you $1 worth in terms of purchasing power parity, 22 rupees in India buy you $1 worth. The purchasing power in India is greater. That's why in purchasing power parity terms, India will stay ahead of Bangladesh. But in nominal terms, where India was twice as much as Bangladesh, almost twice as much 10 years ago. See how we squandered this advantage and how badly we have done. First of all, how brilliantly Bangladesh has done. And second, how badly we have done. I know that we tend to get defensive. What is Bangladesh? It's a tiny country. It's this, it's that. But the fact is, they beat us on every social indicator today. Every economic indicator also now, with this increase in their per capita incomes. And they have become an export powerhouse. Now, many people might say, but this year, India has record exports. Yes, India has record exports. That's brilliant. But India has to build a lot more on this. Is India an export-driven economy? It is not an export-driven economy. Bangladesh is an export, remittances, and agriculture-driven economy. Now, are there vulnerabilities there? Those things we'll see going ahead, because these are, after all, just projections. But even if you look at India's exports, and we'll talk about this in greater detail at some point of time, while India has had record exports this year, in terms of the percentage of GDP, when a country exports, how do you say whether it's an exporting power or not an exporting power, or exporting superpower or a middling power? You calculate the exports in terms of the percentage of the GDP. In terms of the percentage of GDP, Indian exports have not risen where they should have risen by now. So we cannot just take absolutes where it suits us and percentages where that suits us. So we have to understand that. Now see the two countries comparisons, how they've gone year by year. And there will be some few twists there, which I will try and explain to you to the best of my ability, because I'm not an economist. If anything, most of you will know more economics, better economics than me. Now, if you look at the decade from 2003 to 13, according to the latest IMF report, 2003 to 13, India's economy grew or expanded at 7.7% per year on an average. That was a great decade of growth for India. Bangladesh in that decade grew by 6.2%. So they grew, but 6.2%. Next year, 14-15, India grows at 7.4, which is good. Bangladesh, 6.1. So India is better than Bangladesh. 15-16, India is at 8%. Bangladesh also improved at 6.6. India is still ahead of Bangladesh. So India is actually increasing the gap in its own favor with Bangladesh. 16-17, even better for India. India is at 8.3. Bangladesh is at 7.1. But something happens the next year, 17-18. 17-18 is when the tide turns. And I know you can guess why, but I will tell you also. 17-18, India grows at 6.8%. Bangladesh now has 7.3%. So they've recovered some ground vis-a-vis their competition with India. Next year, India is 6.5%. Bangladesh is 7.9%. See the difference now. Then the following year, that is year 1920, India is 3.7%, Bangladesh is 8.3%. Right? So as India is declining from the year 17-18, India is brilliant in 16-17. So you don't have very much to guess. I can tell you, I can remind you also if need be, what happened to India that broke India's momentum. That's when the demonetization happened. And that was such a big disaster that nobody even talks about it anymore. Modi government doesn't talk about it anymore. The finance minister does not talk about it anymore. It just broke India's own momentum. So that is when this turnaround took place. So in the year India declines from 8.3 to 6.8, that is 17-18, Bangladesh has 7.3% growth. The next year, India declines further, but a little bit, to 6.5. Bangladesh has 7.9% growth. So now they are recovering big ground. So in a marathon race, for example, if you're 200 meters ahead of somebody and then sort of you look behind, you slow down a little bit, or you think you should tie your laces or something like that, then the other guy following you, while the he may have been or she may have been far behind, is able to recover 100 meters. That's the kind of thing that happened between these 2 years, between 17, 18, between basically 17, 18, 18, 19. So India at 6.8, 6.5, Bangladesh at 7.3, 7.9. Then came the next year, the real disaster year for India's economic growth is not really the year of the pandemic. That we understand. A large country like India did have a very massive lockdown. Maybe it was necessary, maybe it was an overreaction, maybe it was an act of God, whatever it was, but that's a reality. So that, if we leave aside, in India's economy stalled big time in financial year 2019-20 to 3.7%. And that's when Bangladesh grew at 8.3%. So the runner who was 200 meters behind had earlier recovered 100 meters. Now that runner recovered another 80 meters or so. So now that runner is more or less breathing down your neck. And that is when the next big change comes in. India has a negative growth. IMF reckons 6.6 in 2020-21. Bangladesh, on the other hand, maintains some growth, which is 3.5. Again, if you net it, so 6.6, negative 6.6 and plus 3.5. So if you net it, then Bangladesh got an advantage of almost 11% over India. That's where Bangladesh has firmly left India behind. So the guy who was 200 meters behind came 20 meters behind, is now 5 meters, 7 meters ahead of you. And IMF's projections are that in the next 5 years, that 5 or 7 meters will become 17 or 20 meters. That's what we are looking at right now. So this is time for India to be realistic, to be humble, to accept that we've done this wrong. There's no point comparing yourselves with Pakistan, because Pakistan has been left way behind. We should compare or compete with those who are ahead of us. The fact is that in this subcontinent today, India, I had said this in episode 592 also, and I will repeat it. India has now become the leader of the third world within this subcontinent. So there are countries, I know there is a lot of mess in Sri Lanka right now, which is a result of very bad governance. So Sri Lanka is the richest country in the subcontinent in per capita terms, never mind its current crisis. Maldives, Bangladesh, then India. So India is the least poor of the remaining four. India is ahead then of Pakistan, Bhutan, and Nepal, if that's a cause for any satisfaction. And because we are talking the IMF report, there's one more little fact in the IMF report that I thought I'll mention to you in terms of its projections. That's the total economic growth in terms of what will be the size of our GDP, say, 5 years from now, 2027. Because remember, Mr. Modi had given us all the slogan of $5 trillion economy. So in 5 years, according to the IMF projections, India does not reach $5 trillion even in 5 years. So in 5 years, India would be $4.39 trillion. So not quite $5 trillion. Even 5 years hence, that is 2027. So that $5 trillion target is quite far from us. Now, there is no harm in dreaming. There is no harm in imagining. There is no harm being aspirational. There is no harm being ambitious. And really, you know, when somebody says, somebody defies you to say that, look, you can't be a $5 trillion economy in the next 5 years, you got to take it as a challenge and say, no, I will do it. But that needs a lot of focus, commitment, and most of all, a resolve and discipline. So we do not do nutty experiments with our economy anymore.